bring you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We heard this morning in those verses from John that Jesus came and stood among the disciples on Resurrection Day. And initially, Thomas was not there. They said when Thomas returned that they'd seen Jesus. He didn't believe them until he sees the proof for himself. And so Jesus returns the following week and again stood among them and showed Thomas his hands and his side and encouraged him to believe. Thomas proclaims, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says, "Well, that's great. You believe because you've seen me, but blessed will be those who have not seen me and yet still believe." As I looked into this passage, one of the things that really caught my attention was the fact that Jesus came and stood among them. And as I was reading through some comments, I found a quote from Luther, where Luther writes, "The evangelist says not that they saw him enter, but that he appeared or stood in their midst, which sounds as if he had been there already, hidden and now revealed himself, as he also did to Mary Magdalene at the grave." So I thought, that is interesting, that Jesus, on that resurrection day or soon thereafter, showed himself to various people in various different ways. So I thought, let's go on a little bit of a quick tour through the Gospels to see how Jesus did reveal himself or not to those people soon after his resurrection. Starting with Matthew, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb, found it empty. The angel said, "He's not here, but go to Galilee and he will meet you there." So as they turned from the tomb, afraid, they ran to tell the disciples, but Jesus met them on the road. And we're told they came to him, they clasped his feet and worshipped him. So they saw him, they recognized him, and they worshipped him. So he revealed himself obviously very clearly to them. Then the 11 went to Galilee as the angel had instructed them, and Jesus allowed them to see him there. They saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So even though he was there in the flesh, some recognized him, worshipped him, but others weren't so sure. Okay, that's interesting. We go to Mark. These verses don't appear in all Bibles, verses 9 to 11, but they're in the Lutheran Study Bible, so they must be right, yeah? So we read that when Jesus arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary. He just appeared. She went and told those, she saw him, she recognized him, so she went and told those who had been with him, the disciples, because they were mourning and weeping. And then after these things, after he'd seen Mary, he appeared in another form. Not sure what that means, but he appeared in another form to two disciples as they were walking in the country. We know that from Luke as the road to Emmaus. So Jesus appeared to them, even though it was in another form, and we'll get to that in a minute. They still went back and told the rest of the disciples who were holed up in Jerusalem. But those disciples didn't believe them either. They didn't believe Mary when she told them either. But then later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him. So Mary and the other Mary had already gone back and told the disciples. The two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus went back and told them. The disciples in the room didn't believe any of them. So Jesus appeared to them quite clearly and rebuked them for refusing to believe. Luke then has an account of Mary going to the tomb. She finds it empty, but then leaves, wondering what's happened. There's no appearance of Jesus at the tomb in Luke's gospel. However, as we know, two disciples then were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus came up and he walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. So we have some people who see him, recognize him clearly. We have some people who see him but still doubt. Now we've got some people who are actually kept from recognizing Jesus. I wonder what's going on there. We know that as they walked, Jesus opened the scriptures to them and opened their minds so they could understand and explained how the Messiah had to suffer and die in order to fulfill the scriptures, and on the third day he'd be raised again. So they're just taking all of this stuff in as they're walking along. They get to where they're going. They invite him in for dinner. He takes the bread and breaks it and gives thanks, and suddenly their eyes are opened and they recognize him. So Jesus prevents them from recognizing them on the road, but then once they've had dinner and he breaks the bread, he allows them to see who he was. And then as soon as they recognize him, he disappears. Interesting. After that, then Jesus goes to the disciples themselves, where they're shacked up in Jerusalem, and again, he stands among them. They were startled, they were frightened, thinking they'd seen a ghost, He says, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Here I am. He shows them his hands and his feet to show that it's the same Jesus they saw nailed to the cross and yet now resurrected and alive again, just as he had warned them. But they still do not believe because of joy and amazement. So here he's fully revealed to them. He's showing them all the proof that he's got, and they still don't believe. So we've got a range of options here, haven't we? Then we get to John. John begins his resurrection day with Mary going to the tomb. She sees the tomb's empty. She just starts crying. Peter and John come along. They do their thing. But Mary turns around, sees Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. So again, he's not fully revealed himself to her, but then he speaks. He says her name. She hears her voice, her name spoken by his voice, and realizes that it is Jesus. She cries out, Rabboni, as she recognizes him and she worships him. Echoes here of the Good Shepherd narrative that we know, where Jesus says, I know my sheep by name and they know my voice. And here Mary recognizes him once she hears him call her name through his voice. Then we get to the text that we've been looking at today. Then that evening, Mary goes back and tells the disciples, but they don't believe her in John's gospel either. That evening, the disciples are in the room, all locked up, and Jesus came and stood among them. And it was this passage, when I was researching, that I found that comment of Luther saying, well, was he there all the time and just chose not to be revealed to them, or did through his powerful supernatural abilities just manage to make his way into the room despite the fact that the doors were locked and appear before them? But they recognize him nonetheless at this point. He speaks, peace be with you. Maybe that was the thing that actually jogged their recognition. And he shows his hands and his side. The disciples are overjoyed in John's gospel when they see the Lord. As we know, then a week later, they're still there again. Again, he comes and stands among them. Maybe he was there before, don't know. But he suddenly becomes clear to them. He says, peace be with you. And then he has his conversation with Thomas. Reach out your hand, put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Seeing is believing in the case of Thomas. Thomas proclaims, my Lord and my God. He confesses, he recognizes that Jesus is Lord, and Jesus makes that statement. Great, you've seen me, you believe. There will be those who will be even more blessed when they come to believe without actually seeing you. But John goes on, there's one more incident after that. After this had happened, the boys go fishing. So they're out in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus appears to them again. Early in the morning, he stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Now, some commentators say, well, they were 100 meters off shore. The light was dim. It was early in the morning, so maybe that's why they didn't recognize Jesus. Maybe it was, or maybe it was because he didn't want to be fully recognized just yet. He asked them, have you caught any fish? And they say, no. So he says, well, throw your net out on the other side of the boat. And as we know, they then hauled in this miraculous catch, so big they couldn't actually get it into the boat. Once that had happened, then the disciple Jesus loved, John, looked back to the shore and thought, hang on a minute, that's Jesus. So he yells out to Peter, it's the Lord. Peter jumps overboard, leaves the boys to bring the fish in by themselves. So they manage to get the boats in and get all the fish on the shore. And Jesus is sitting there cooking breakfast for them. And he says, come and have breakfast. And none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. So by this time, they've come to full recognition of him as Jesus. So it seems to me that there's this whole range of revelations and recognition or lack of recognition or even lack of revelation in some cases. So after his resurrection, Jesus sometimes allowed himself to be seen promptly, quickly, clearly. They recognized him, they worshipped him. They acknowledged his presence. In other times, he allowed himself to be seen eventually. He appeared, but they didn't recognize him at first. And then eventually he said something or did something, and then they realized who he was. And then in other times, he didn't allow himself to be seen at all. He walked with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he prevented them from seeing who he was. Now, there's an interpretation that says if he'd allowed himself to be recognized, then they wouldn't have listened to him as he tried to teach the scriptures to them. So Jesus knew that he had to withhold his identity, withhold his visibility. so that he could open their minds. They weren't ready to see the risen Jesus just yet. Jesus knew their hearts, their minds were not ready yet to see the risen Jesus. So he withheld his identity, opened the scriptures to them, taught them why the Messiah had to suffer and die, why he was going to rise again from the dead. Once he taught them that and their minds had accepted that, then he revealed himself to them. And then he disappeared. Because once you believe that Jesus is the risen Lord, you don't need to see him in person anymore. You've got the Spirit. He's in your heart. And you don't need to see him anymore. So that made me think about then how that relates to us. You know, in all these different aspects, what does that mean to us today in this post? I mean, as we said last week, we are resurrection people. We live in the resurrection of Jesus every single day. To us, every day is resurrection day. And we can see Jesus in all sorts of different ways. So, a question. Crowd participation time. Does Jesus reveal himself to us today? Yes. Anybody think no? Good. That's a good start. How does Jesus reveal himself to us today? Through other people? Through scriptures? Perfect. Sacraments? Beautiful. He comes to us in person, true, real flesh. Through sermons, absolutely. Someone pointed at me in the first service and said, God help us if that's the case. I try, but... any other ways that Jesus reveals himself to us? Sorry? Caring. No, that's right. Caring, baptism, yep, absolutely. So there are a number of ways that Jesus reveals himself to us. In maybe not such a visual way, but certainly in ways that our hearts understand and our souls understand. I had a really interesting experience. I do, as part of my professional development, I do a silent directed retreat up at Seven Hill each year, where I go up to the Seven Hill Retreat Centre. The Jesuits up there do a fantastic job with their retreat centre. I stay up there for 5 days, and I spend each day just in silent meditation with God. I have a retreat director who points me towards particular gospel passages each day, depending on where he thinks I'm at or what I've experienced the day before. And I spend 30 or 40 minutes just in silent meditation inside a particular gospel passage. And then once my timer goes off, then I journal for another 30 or 40 minutes to record whatever I heard or saw or felt during the meditation. And then I'll go for a run or a walk or a ride or something down the reasoning trail just to clear my head. And I'll come back and do it all over again. And I might do 3 or 4 blocks of meditation in a day during the course of the day. In one of my early ones, I can't remember exactly which one it was, but I think it was one of my first meditations or retreats up at Seven Hill. I was meditating on this passage. And as I'm entering into these passages, I try to visualize the scene. I close my eyes and I put myself in the scene. I try to see the sights and smell the smells and hear the sounds of whatever was going on in that particular scene according to what the gospel describes. And on this particular day, I was meditating on this passage where Jesus appears to Thomas, and I was Thomas. And he was inviting me. He said, Greg, put your fingers here. Touch the wounds in my hand. And Jesus was standing right there. This might be a bit freaky for some people. I apologize if it was a bit out of your comfort zone. It was for me, I can tell you. But it was very, very real, just so vivid, so graphic. Jesus was standing right in front of me. He held his hands out. He said, put your fingers here. And then he said, reach out your hand and put your hand in my side, which sounds gross, but it was the most amazing, intimate sensation I've ever had in my life of watching my fingers disappear into Jesus' side and feeling the warmth of his body and feeling the moisture of the wound. He was there, you know, and it was just so beautiful and so graphic and such a privilege that he would actually allow me to touch his body in that way. It's been real ever since. You know, that was just such a vivid experience. I remember it like it was yesterday, even though I can't remember how long ago it was. So it was just a really beautiful experience. So Jesus reveals himself to us in all sorts of different ways at different times, depending on what he knows we need or where we're at. Next question then is, does Jesus reveal himself through us today? That's a little bit more of a confronting question. Who thinks Jesus reveals himself through us? Good. Some people do. Who don't think he does? Good. No one's game to answer that one. Okay. So how does Jesus reveal himself through us, or how should Jesus reveal himself through us today? Words and action. Thank you. Yep. Kindness and compassion. Beautiful. Love and care. Absolutely. Love and sacrifice. Absolutely. Random acts of kindness, random acts of generosity. I've noticed some people who, when they go shopping, pay a bit extra and tell the cashier to take it off of the next person's bill. They don't know who the next person is. I've heard of people doing that in petrol stations and car parks and things like that as well. Just a totally anonymous, random act of generosity. And they don't know what impact that'll have on the life of the person after them. But every now and then you hear the stories of the person after them, you know, really didn't have enough money to pay for their groceries or whatever. So God acts in mysterious ways, and Jesus works through us to reveal himself to other people through us. But I wonder if we have a lot of those same scenarios that we looked at before, where sometimes people see us and they see Jesus clearly and they recognize Jesus in us, and they're able to relate to Jesus and they're able to grow or learn about Jesus through us very easily. And then maybe there are other times where they look at us and they think, I'm not sure that's Jesus or not. It's a bit veiled. I don't really recognize Jesus in this person. So maybe we're covering Jesus up a little bit. And maybe there are other times where people look at us and go, nah, there's no Jesus there. And maybe we're actually shielding people from seeing the Jesus within us. Maybe we're doing it deliberately. Maybe we're not even doing it deliberately. Maybe we're too shy, or maybe we think we're too embarrassed to reveal Jesus to people. Jesus said in that passage, just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Each and every one of us. He died for us. He gave us the most precious gift we could possibly ever hope to receive. And now he expects us, and he encourages us, and he commissions us, empowers us to go forward and share that message, to reveal Jesus to other people. He gives us everything we need. The opportunity, the words, the courage. We've just got to allow him to work through us so that he can show himself to other people in new and interesting ways. In the final words of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the writer says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. Jesus can work through us either easily or hard, depending on how hard we make it for him. But if we show hospitality, if we welcome people, then he'll show Jesus to them. We had something like 500 people, just over 500 people came through our worship services over last weekend. They weren't all members. A lot of them were visitors. But I don't know that anybody spoke to them. Now, admittedly, Thursday night, Friday, we came in silence. We left in silence. That made it difficult. But I know one particularly industrious person who followed some visitors out into the car park and caught them out there and spoke to them out there instead in order to show them Jesus, in order to build a relationship with them, in order to welcome them and encourage them to come back on another day to experience Jesus again through the services here. On Easter Sunday, it was open slather. There were no limitations. 250 people wandered through on Easter Sunday through the two services. Now, I'm at a bit of a disadvantage because I don't know who's members and who's not just at the moment. And there's still a lot of members not wearing their name tags, which makes it doubly difficult for me. But a lot of you know who are members and who are not, who are visitors. So I just encourage you to, if you need to pray about it first, then say a quick little prayer. God, give me courage, give me words. But then introduce yourself to somebody that you think is a visitor and welcome them and encourage them and get them a cup of tea or something. And just be Jesus to them. Jesus went out of his way to make people feel welcome, especially those who didn't feel welcome anywhere in society. So I encourage you to just take that step of faith. And when we see a visitor, and if you're a visitor here today, then please make yourself known to us so that we can make you welcome, so that you too can come to know Jesus better through us. We have lots of opportunity as our community grows here. As I've said before, there are lots and lots of people coming in. So how can we do more? How can we get better at revealing Jesus to the people around us? How can we serve the community? How can we take Jesus out of this building into the surrounding suburbs that are just blossoming around us so that more and more people can come to know Jesus. If you have any suggestions, ideas, hopes, passions, dreams about how we might be able to take Jesus out into the community, then please ring me, email me, text me. I don't care. Anyway, get in contact with me so that we can pursue these ideas. God doesn't just speak to me or through me. He speaks to each and every one of you, and each and every one of you have got the same commission that I have to be Jesus to the community around us. So let's get out there. This is where the rubber hits the road from here on in, and we can really grow God's kingdom, and we can share Jesus with other people. As you do that, may the peace of God, which is beyond our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.